Welcome in. Happy Saturday. Daily Tap hitting you with it. Saturday, January 13th. We are here. Snowtap WI is where you can find us. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You guys know the deal. Got a lot of energy. Feeling good. Feeling great. Even though it was not an ideal Friday night for Wisconsin sports. Both basketball games kind of ended the same way. We blogged about both, so you can look at that on Snowtap WI. It's a website. But both Marquette and the Bucks got on a run at some point in the second half and then fell apart as the game went on. The Bucks a little more egregious than Marquette. We're going to spend some time there talking about Jason Kidd and something I alluded to in the article about Chris Middleton. And first of all, let's start with Jason Kidd. And I'm not meaning to pile on. And like I said, on these weekend pods, you're going to probably get a little bit of both. But the fact that Jason Kidd left Matthew Dellavedova and Thon Maker out there for 6 minutes of the fourth quarter is damn near fireable. I don't know how you can do that. I don't know how Eric Bledsoe was glued to the bench. Eric Bledsoe had a great game. He was a great compliment scorer to Giannis. He was doing everything that Chris Middleton, who we're going to get to in a second here, you know, should have been doing. And the fact that he went with Delly for so long is infuriating. I know Delly had a good run last week, but that immediately makes Kidd think that he deserves more minutes. I don't get it. I also really am failing to understand why Thon Maker is getting so many minutes. Why are we forcing the Thon Maker issue? John Henson had 6 points and 8 rebounds. He had a decent game. Like, John Henson wasn't bad. But the fact was, they got bullied by their second unit of David West, Kevon Looney, and that's kind of why they lost the game. It wasn't necessarily that Draymond Green and Kevin Durant had – I mean, Kevin Durant had a couple of big shots that put this game away, but they didn't really beat the Bucks. What beat the Bucks were the – you know, Swaggy P had a couple moments. Sean Livingston had a few major moments as well. It's like, that is why the Warriors are a great team, because Steve Kerr knows how to manage his bench, knows how to put the guys out on the court that matter, and it's clear that Jason Kidd does not. And this Bucks team better be careful. They have to go to Washington and Miami, Miami then Washington, but those are two playoff teams. Those are two teams that matters. The East is fully bunched up. The Bucks could be the eighth seed by Monday night. That is a reality. And may I mention, they play Philly a couple times. Philly's only one game under 500. They're chasing a playoff spot. So are the Knicks. It's not great. And if the people who want Jason Kidd fired, like yours truly, there could be some consternation, especially with this. They have a streak coming up where they play a bunch of bad teams, and they have a pretty easy schedule on the remaining, that if the fact is the Bucks need to maybe look for a new coach, it wouldn't surprise me if a move is made, but the Bucks have to lose like 5 straight. So I'm not going to competitively cheer for losses. We talked about that on Tapping the Keg this week. Go back and listen to that, about how you just really can't cheer for losses. That's bullshit, even if you want Jason Kidd fired. But it's clear that someone has to get through to him about this bench, because he just doesn't know it. He can't figure it out, and it's infuriating. So did want to mention Chris Middleton a little bit, and I'm starting to get on the bandwagon of Chris Middleton may be the guy that gets dealt. He might be the odd man out. For a while here, everyone thought it was Jabari Parker, and I understand why you'd think that was Jabari Parker, because Jabari Parker's coming off of 2 knee injuries. He's owed a ton of money next year. Do the Bucks really want to pay Jabari Parker all that money with the injury risk? I think they will. We're going to talk a little bit more about Jabari. We got our first submission to the Snowtap inbox the other day, so we're going to probably do that on Monday or Tuesday of next week. We have a lot to talk about today. But what I wanted to say was about at least Chris Middleton is it doesn't seem like he's adapting to being the second guy in this role. Like, he doesn't seem like he fits in with Giannis and Eric Bledsoe. He wants to kind of take over. He wants to have hero shots. He wants to get his shot up, and he doesn't fit seamlessly in this offense. Tony Snell fits much better. Tony Snell had a great game last night, and he fits so much better than a guy like Chris Middleton. And it doesn't make sense to me why Middleton hasn't adapted. It's been over, it's been 3 months now. How has he not fit into this role and understand that he is a compliment to Giannis? He thinks at times he's the star of this team, and it's clear that he is not. And I think what would be a real savvy move by John Horst is when the Bucks make a deal for a big man, because God knows they fucking need one, is dangling Chris Middleton out there, especially to a team who's struggling, because he can be a scorer for a bad team. He might be just a player who is going to get buckets on a bad team, but he's not fitting a playoff roster. We might have to come to that reality with Chris Middleton. And I don't know. I think people are starting to understand that, but he just doesn't fit. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't work. And I think it's time that the Bucks start exploring ideas for Chris Middleton and have him as the focal point of a deal, because he is the guy, not Jabari Parker, that I think is the odd man out in this whole thing. So the Bucks do go to Miami Sunday. Likely we'll talk about that on Sunday, on Monday's Daily Tap. Just let's be realistic. I don't think I'm going to get a podcast out before the Sunday start at noon, given my usual Saturday nefarious activities. All right, so moving on to the NFL playoffs for Sunday. We did preview Saturday's, today's games yesterday. So if you didn't listen to the Daily Tap, go in and listen to that before 3:30 to get you ready for Falcons-Eagles and then Titans-Patriots. But really the big game to talk about is the Saints and the Vikings. And yes, we are all Saints fans tomorrow. I talked to many people over the last few weeks about how do you want to see the Vikings lose? Because do you want to see them go all the way to the Super Bowl? Are you a true masochist where you want to see them get to the Super Bowl, get so far, and then fuck it up? Or does it just want to end now? And I am 100% on board with let's just end it now. Let's end the charade before it even gets started. Let's not deal with one more week of Viking talk. Get Case Keenum out of my face. Get Adam Thielen out of my face. Like, the Saints need to power down and win this game. And I know people are saying, well, the Vikings played such good defense down the stretch. Does people realize who the Vikings were facing? They were facing a Bears team who knew their coach was getting fired and a Packers team who was fucking lifeless because Aaron Rodgers went back on the IR. Like, and their third team they played was a Bengals team who thought Marvin Lewis was getting fired. So how the fuck can people think that this defense suddenly had it was okay? I mean, they won the game, but they gave up 24 points to Carolina. The Saints can beat this team. New Orleans, I understand that Drew Brees kind of threw it back last year and I think they're going to involve Kamara much more in this game because I think they almost thought that they could play rope-a-dope because the Vikings and Carolina present a similar style with very focused on stopping the run. Granted, the Vikings are much better against the pass. Xavier Rhodes, one of the best. He's going to shadow Michael Thomas, but look for those big plays with Ted Ginn again. Trey Wayans has been better this year than last year, but he has been known to get beat deep. Don't expect the Saints to take another similar shot with Ted Ginn. And that Saints defense, I think, is underrated. It's banged up, but it's underrated. Cam Jordan is one of the best defensive linemen in football. He's arguably a defensive player of the year candidate. He will be able to get to Case Keenum. And, you know, yes, this does have some Kurt Warner vibes. And you're like, when is just it going to run out for him? And I wouldn't be surprised if it's against the Saints defense. This is probably the best secondary they've faced in quite some time. It's hard to remember when the last time the Vikings faced a good secondary. And look through you can tell me. You can talk to me on Snowtap WI on any of the channels. And let me know the last time the Vikings actually faced a good secondary because it's been a while. And I think the Saints do win this game. I know I'm biased. I'm fully admitting that. But I do think they are going to win this game 27-21. It's going to be a hell of a football game. I think it is the best game of the weekend. I know everyone's saying that, but it is really feeling like that way. So let's talk about Jags Steelers too a little bit. So I am a big fan of my guy, Blake, don't call me Mike Vick Bortles, who just, I don't know. I love his attitude. My dad, I had dinner with my dad on Thursday night, and he was like, so why does like everybody love Blake Bortles? And I was like, who are you talking to that loves Blake Bortles? Maybe Dan Patrick, I don't know. And I was like, so here's the thing about Blake Bortles. First of all, I do like the fact that he's a guy who's been on Part of My Take many a times, one of my favorite podcasts. You know, I'm sure you guys listen to it if you listen to our podcast. But I also like the fact that he's just a dude. He is a guy who you could sit down next to, have a beer with, and he wouldn't tell you he's a quarterback probably at all. Like you could recognize it, you could acknowledge it, but I don't think the guy gives a fuck. He just goes out there and has fun, doesn't really care. His LeBron James quote about, yeah, people hate LeBron James too. They tell him he sucks. It doesn't really matter. And it was so perfect. It's so Blake Bortles. And I do worry about the weather with the Jaguars. I think it's going to be really cold in Pittsburgh, but they can beat the Steelers. I don't know why someone isn't talking about the fact that Jaguars can beat the Steelers. It's just assumed that the Steelers are going to go out there and win this game, and I think that is a grave mistake. I think the Jaguars can win this football game, and the way they win it is their defense. Yes, they have to pick off Big Ben. They have to frustrate him. He is very good against the blitz. He is not good with pressure. That's what the Jaguars do. They don't really blitz. They just pressure, and they just play with their guys. And if Antonio Brown can't go, and I would imagine, I'm going to predict that Brown doesn't play just because of the weather. I think with a calf injury, I'm not a big cap, but if you know about medical stuff, stuff like soft tissues doesn't really work in cold weather. And that the fact that he's dealing with a calf injury makes me think that he's going to need another week. And that means that then Jalen Ramsey is going to be on Juju Smith-Schuster. And then who the hell is Big Ben throwing to? Jesse James? Le'Veon Bell just getting all of the dump-offs? I mean, Le'Veon Bell might have to win the game alone for Pittsburgh to win this game if Antonio Brown is out. And let's not act like the Steelers defense is world beaters it's because of Ryan Shazier being down, but the Jaguars can get something going. I do believe in this Jacksonville team. I think they can get it done. I think Bortles can do just enough, and I have the Jaguars winning this football game 16-13. It'll be the surprise of the weekend, I think. You know, everyone's expecting the chalk is Falcons, Patriots, Steelers, Vikings. I think Vikings are kind of the chalk at this point. Those are all the favorites. And I think a lot of people are playing up the favorites. And I could see three underdogs winning outright. I want people to think about how weird this football year was. This was not one of those years where everything was chalk. Maybe in the AFC a little bit more. But I do think the Jaguars can win this football game. And maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm just drinking that teal Kool-Aid and jagging off too much. But I do think that they can win this game. So go Jags. Go Saints. Go America. All right, finishing up with a little Snow Tap movie review. You might have heard the podcast on Friday where I'd said how, yeah, we're going to go see I, Tonya, my girlfriend and I, and it was right in between Bucks Warriors and Marquette Butler, and I was like, well, I'll just tape the Bucks game and watch it later, watch it Saturday morning when I have a little time. Ended up that we kind of just, our schedules were a little bunched up, and we ended up not going to the movie till the late show at 9:50. So I was able to watch both Marquette Butler and Bucks Warriors, and that's why my girlfriend's the greatest. And so it was great. I got everything that I wanted last night. Like, can't really complain. And so I Tonya was a pretty good movie. I love the Tonya Harding Nancy Kerrigan story. I think it's one of the biggest sports stories that we'll ever see. It's something that if it was replicated in 2018, I think we would just go crazy. It would be bigger than Manti Te'o. It's kind of like in that Manti Te'o vein. Like, I fully expect there to be like movies and documentaries about the whole Manti Te'o story about 10 years from now. And then you remember how crazy that was in social media and everybody having different conspiracy theories, everybody having different things. There would be so much. There would be the Daily Beast Salon articles about why Tonya Harding is getting disrespected because she's poor. You'd have that. You'd have all sorts of different things. And the movie itself was pretty good. I think Allison Janney is a Oscar contender for sure. She won the Golden Globe for Best Supporting Actress as Tanya's mom. She was perfect in it, in the role. If you've watched the 30 for 30, I think that actually really helps. You probably don't want to watch it before the movie if you haven't seen it, but I would recommend watching the Nancy and Tonya 30 for 30 after the fact, because you'll see these people and you're like, oh yeah, they're pretty similar. I thought Sebastian Stan, who played the husband, did a really good job. I thought Margot Robbie was actually the worst of them all. And it wasn't that Margot Robbie did a bad job acting. I think she did a great job portraying Tonya Harding. I just didn't think she looked like her. Like, Tonya Harding was, I think, a little more petite than what they were showing. And I kind of think it was tough because if you heard about the movie when they were making it, Margot Robbie had to add on 40 pounds to play the old Tonya. But then you look at like Tonya, the figure skater, and she was actually pretty skinny. So it's almost like you wonder if you could have done two actresses, but that probably wouldn't have been really doing the movie justice. So I totally understand that. And it is a nitpick. I think that Tanya and they also too, they made her look a lot more rough than she was as a youngster. Like when she was younger, she was, I mean, I wouldn't say attractive, but she wasn't like white trash. And I think like the movie really wanted to get across that this person didn't belong in the figure skating world. And that's true, but I think it was a little bit overdone, a little bit for Hollywood. And I do think it was a good movie. I think it's, you know, it's not something that I think is going to get nominated for Best Picture. I'd be surprised if it did. But I do think there are going to be a few different things, you know, costume. I could see, you know, Best Supporting Actress for Allison Janney's role. And yeah, definitely. I wouldn't be, actually, I thought Sebastian Stan did well. I don't know. Best Actor crowd is pretty full. So yeah, I'm going to try to keep it up with the Oscar movies. The only ones that I really don't have interest in, Call Me By Your Name. Like, I get the concept, but the reviews haven't been like perfect for them. And I don't know, just don't have that much of an interest there. And I really don't have interest in Shape of Water. I don't really want to watch someone fuck water for 2 hours. And maybe that's an ignorant comment by me. If so, so be it. It's Saturday, right? Let's have some fun and roll. All right, so we're going to wrap this up. And once again, you can find us on SnowtapWI, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Subscribe on iTunes. Do us a favor, maybe a rate, maybe give a comment. We would much appreciate it. Tell your friends, hey, look, this is a great podcast. You're going to enjoy it. You're going to enjoy the hot takes every day. And get that. We'll be back on Sunday. I'm sure I'll be talking to you with a hangover because that is what we do on Sundays. So take care, Tappers. Have a good Saturday. See you out there. Bye.